We begin our service this morning by reading through a portion of the small catechism of Dr. Martin Luther. If you'll turn to pages 35 and 36, we'll read together the answers to the questions regarding the benefit and the power of the sacrament of the altar. What benefit do we receive from such eating and drinking? Shown us by these words, given and shed for you for the remission of sins, namely, that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. And how can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?
It is not the eating and drinking that does such things.
Given and shed for you for the remission of sins.
These words, along with the eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament,
and whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, namely, the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you.
Our text this morning is St. Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, one of the greatest tragedies in the history of the Christian church is how the Lord's Supper became a point of division, a battleground for opposing teachings on just what this supper is. Thousands of pages have been written trying to explain what Jesus meant when he said, "This is my body. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Such discussions were not a new thing, even in the Reformation, but disputes on this go back to the early church. Already in those earlier centuries, the Lord's table was not open to just anyone. It was understood that going to communion was about believing who Jesus is, what he gives, and what we receive in this supper. If you go to the webpage of the largest church in the United States, you'll find this statement: "We believe in regularly receiving communion as an act of remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us through dying on the cross." Now, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? Anything wrong with remembering Jesus' sacrifice? Of course not. In fact, Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." You can find dozens and dozens of similar statements about communion. We remember Jesus' death. But is that all he said? In the Large Catechism of Luther, we're given a hermeneutic, a how-to on reading what the Bible reveals about the Lord's Supper. We begin with the belief that we are dealing with God's word and with God's command. We call communion the Lord's Supper so that from the get-go we confess that this is not our supper. It is not any particular church's supper. It is the Lord's. Now, perhaps this seems so obvious that it need not be a big deal, but it is. So many errors in the teaching of the church occur because we try to impose on God's word what we think he should mean, instead of simply trusting what he is saying. Why not a six-day creation with God's powerful word doing what he says, "Let there be light, and there is light"? Oh, that's crazy talk, right? We need millions and millions of years for that. Our human reason can't grasp such a powerful word spoken by the true God. So let's find a way to make the origin of our world small enough for our human minds to comprehend it. The same thing happens with the Lord's Supper. The words of Jesus are made to fit what we think makes sense to our puny human minds. And you know what doesn't make sense is that Jesus actually meant what he said, that the bread is his body, or that Jesus actually meant that the wine is his blood when he said of the wine, "This is my blood." Let's ignore that little word "is" and make a more comfortable meaning for our minds. Maybe "symbolize" will work, or "represent." Or maybe forget the bread and wine and body and blood and just focus on what we do. Remember. In contrast, we confess that the sacrament of the altar is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in and under bread and wine, which we Christians are commanded by God's word to eat and to drink. But this is bread and wine included in and connected with God's word. It is the word, I say, that makes and sets this sacrament apart. So it is not mere bread and wine, but is and is called Christ's body and blood. For it is said, when the word is joined to the element, it becomes a sacrament. The word must make a sacrament out of the element, or else it remains a mere element. Now, it is not the word or ordinance of a prince or emperor, but it is the word of the grand majesty, at whose feet all creatures should fall and affirm it is as he says, and accept it with all reverence, fear, and humility. But there is more. These words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians do point us to the death of Christ, proclaiming it as part of what we are thinking about here. Now, why does he do this? Well, Jesus instituted this blessed supper of his body and blood as a way for you to receive right in your mouth the forgiveness of your sins, exactly what he achieved through his sacrificial death for the sins of the world. But he makes it very personal. Right? This is for you in an obvious way. Does Jesus forgive you? Yes. How do you know? I just received his body and blood for the remission of all my sins. He means me. And that is why he gives us this supper. That is what we confess, what we say is true, because that is what Jesus says. One of the most used and best-known communion hymns as soul, adorn thyself with gladness. In one of the verses, we confess, human reason, though it ponder, cannot fathom this great wonder, that Christ's body e'er remaineth, though it countless souls sustaineth, and that he his blood is giving with the wine we are receiving. These great mysteries unsounded are by God alone expounded. Tomorrow is Maundy Thursday. It is the day on which we hear again of Jesus instituting this meal just hours before his arrest and not even a full day before his crucifixion and death. Many of you will have opportunity to go to this supper. Do so with confidence, with faith in the word of Jesus by which he provides for you, for your salvation, his very body and blood, for the remission of all your sins. I close with another paragraph from Luther. With this word, you can strengthen your conscience and say, if 100,000 devils should rush forward crying, how can bread and wine be Christ's body and blood? You can respond, I know that all spirits and scholars together are not as wise as is the divine majesty in his little finger. Now here stands Christ's word. Take, eat. This is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. God bless you with trust in his word and believe that in this blessed sacrament of the altar, you receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Because as we just said, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation for you. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Through
And let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that of your infinite mercy, you have instituted your blessed sacrament, in which we eat your body and drink your blood. Grant us, we beseech you, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not receive this gift unworthily, but that we may confess our sins, remember your agony and death, believe the forgiveness of sin, and day by day grow in faith and love until we obtain eternal salvation through you, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.